And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Again, we're broadcasting live from our studios, and we're located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to welcome you to today's Grace Hour broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us. A quick reminder that we enjoy your participation for our themes each and every day that we broadcast live. You can go to the chat and you can share your thoughts with us on our subject matter today. And if you have questions, pose those questions to us as well as we continue our study in the Old Testament book of Ruth. And this is such a beautiful story of the redemption, not only of Ruth's life and finding a kinsman redeemer in Boaz, but such a beautiful picture of the redemption that we have in our Boaz, that of course being Christ himself and all that it has produced in our lives. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today is Pastor Schaller. We'll be your hosts for today's broadcast. And Pastor Schaller, this is a fascinating story. It's one that we're familiar with, but always so beneficial, always such a blessing to go back and to rehearse it in our hearts. It's only four chapters long. The first chapter, we see some sorrow, and we find Ruth, Naomi, weeping. The second chapter, we see service. Ruth is working. And the third chapter that we'll highlight today is one of submission. Ruth is waiting. And then the book of Ruth closes out with real satisfaction in her life as Ruth has a wedding. So it's a fascinating story. And today we'll focus on her submission. And isn't it interesting how, well, ever since Boaz comes into the picture of Ruth's life, Naomi, who started out being so bitter and so despondent, has now become a different person because her concern is no longer focused on her grief or herself, but it's focused on Ruth and her future and her family's future. It seems like there's a message in that. When we serve others, it changes our perspective in life. When we, you know, kind of lose our own lives and we begin to focus on the needs of others around us, it takes us in a completely different direction.
So well said. The story is very touching because it's a short book. It's kind of an easy story that you could have overlooked. In history, I think there's a lot of stories that are being told every day or played out, and you could overlook them. Oh, that story, there's nothing in it. Except in this case, we have the genealogy of Christ, the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah through this line. And Ruth is married a man that was from Bethlehem, Naomi's son, and that line became the line of the Messiah. So we have a kind of a backstory, you know, small town, little, you know, like knob of a place that could have been overlooked in history. With insignificant people, like Naomi is a widow, poor, and has a daughter-in-law who is from Moab, like not a good line of people, from a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish perspective. So she's an outsider, small town people, poor, disadvantaged, and yeah, we have an incredible love story. Story, is it super romantic? Yeah, not, if you look for it, it is, but not super romantic. But anyway, it's a love story about a woman who was also a widow, Ruth, and wanted to have a family, and in the Jewish law, that woman has a right to marry the kinsman to her husband who was deceased, and that happened in the story. Boaz came along and became part of that. So, I think every character in the book, you mentioned Naomi, call me bitter. That really didn't stick. She was momentarily bitter, but kind of got over it. And so her story is interesting. And then Ruth's story, and then Boaz's story.
Yeah, it is absolutely fascinating. And it seems as though as the story progresses, it kind of reveals to us some steps that we can take in our lives that will lead us into a deeper relationship with God. For instance, Ruth first began to glean in the fields of Boaz, and she picked up the leftovers. Whatever was left behind, she was satisfied with that. And then she even got some gifts from Boaz. And those things are all well and good, but there's something even greater than the leftovers and maybe the gifts that we are given in our relationship with God. It's God himself. Mm. And that's what she, that was her heart's desire. We can be satisfied with the leftovers. We can be satisfied with some of the gifts that God has given us. But in the end, our hearts long for the giver himself. And Ruth beautifully exemplifies that as she moves into this deeper relationship, as the third chapter reveals.
Absolutely.
It's not enough just to be satisfied with the gifts, right? It's like, who gave me these gifts? And uh-huh. Can I get closer to him? Mm-hmm. And if I make the decision to draw near to God, mm-hmm. he'll keep his promise, which is I'll draw near to you.
Yeah, one of the meanings of Ruth laying at the feet of Boaz in the threshing floor, which he saw like in the morning when he talked to his servant. He said, don't let anybody know there was a woman in the thresh, that this would be an embarrassing thing. So he was aware of that, and yet there wasn't anything inappropriate that happened there. And he did say to her in the dark that there's like honor to you that you haven't gone for after the young men. You haven't gone after the young men, but you have, you're looking for a kinsman redeemer. Now, how old was Boaz? I don't know, but it sounds like he's an older guy. Let me read it here. It says, verse 9, he said, who are you? She said, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a near kinsman. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have showed more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. So he's recognizing her character, right?
Yeah. And Naomi instructs her early in this third chapter to prepare herself to enter into this relationship with Boaz. And there's a few things that is brought out here. The first one was she would wash. And of course, when it comes to being cleansed from our sin, we know that only the blood of Christ can do that. But in a very practical way, on our part, the scripture says, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7:1, we've got to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. So there, the responsibility, our part is, hey, I've got to stay clear of some of those things, habits, or maybe even people that could do damage to my soul. Right?
Right.
Obviously we cannot cleanse ourselves. We need God to do that for us. But in a very practical way, we can take steps that can cooperate with this process where we can actually develop practical holiness in our lives. And those steps should be taken.
She was honorable. She had to say no. She had to be able to say no. maybe some young guy working there in the field or on the farm or plantation or whatever it was, that that there could have been a better, more appealing situation for her as a widow. But instead, she's connected with her mother-in-law, Naomi, who's giving her the advice and is actually saying, like, this looks like this is coming together, that the man that owns this land, he's a relative of yours. And, you know, if you could consider this, you know, and it parallels our story with Christ, that we are in this world and we have other options, but it might be better that we would take heed to God and his will and filter through and make good decisions. That's what you're saying, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. And then second thing that she did in the third chapter in the third verse is anointed herself. And of course, for that, for us, that speaks of the Holy Spirit's ministry, an anointing in our lives. And I know some people, when they hear that, they think, oh, is that something special that only a few believers have? But every believer has an unction, has an anointing. And we can be potentially filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can lead us into making healthy, godly decisions. And then the last thing that she did was she was encouraged to put on a new garments. Maybe that speaks of the garments of righteousness that God has now clothed us with, that robe of righteousness, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. And after washing herself and being anointing and then change of garments, she's ready to step into this deeper relationship with Boaz.
Yeah. When you go out with Maureen, you get dressed up.
Sometimes. But I mean, yeah, if you're going to go to a, you know.
It does mean something.
Yeah, it does.
Actually, in our Finnish anniversary on Sunday, we kind of dressed up like everybody. Like they said that the people in the church would be like a, like, you know, I don't remember the wording, but dress nicely, dress like it's like an upgrade. And it was so nice. There were like 500 people at that event, and people were dressed in their best.
Yeah.
And it was a very beautiful Sunday.
Yeah.
It really was. It was special.
You feel better about yourself too, don't you? I know that I've noticed.
I think
that
women do.
Yeah, they do.
Well, men too.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
It's like when our students have their banquets during the course of the year in the Greater Grace Christian Academy, boy, when they get together, I mean, they have a meal, they spend some time together, they play a few games, they hear a message, but most of the time is spent taking pictures of each other. They just can't stop taking pictures of each other because I think in their minds, they think, we've never looked so good. And they're probably right.
Yeah.
But I love this picture of Ruth just, you know, drawing near to Boaz. And then, of course, what happens? Boaz begins to draw near to Ruth.
Yeah.
Beautiful picture of our relationship with God. We can recall how many times Pastor Stevens said that in his preaching, in his messages. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. And even you mentioned it last night in the message. We take that one step toward God. What does he do? Takes two steps toward us.
Yeah.
And that's so important, isn't it?
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
It is. Beautiful.
And I mean, we're going to have Bible school starting up at the end of August. And I would recommend, I recommend for the summer, draw near, go to the church service, be a humble servant. Look for people you can minister to, reinforce in them, encourage them in their faith. Be a part of the body. Do what Ruth did, which was, you know, she drew near. She knew she had an option. She wasn't pushy, but she was there and available. And he responded. And he talked to her And he honored her, and he said, you know, I think you've done really well, and that you're handling yourself in the right way regarding this. And she's really looking for, a future in the right way. We all look for a future, but we can look for one in the wrong way. Mm. Yeah, let's illustrate that for a minute. Would you like to venture into that? Like, look for a future in the wrong way. I'm going to take $1,000 and go to Las Vegas. I'm going to make my... Okay, so I can look for a future in the wrong way. I remember as a teenager going up in the Adirondacks, you know, before I was saved, before, you know, and I was just thinking about what am I going to do? How am I going to live my life? How am I going to make my decisions? And it kind of became clear to me that I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle. I have options, but I don't know. And then when I find like Boaz, like, well, he's an older guy, and maybe, you know, this isn't really something I'm looking for. But it might be the thing that's God's will for me, you know?
Yeah.
It may not be that clear to me, but I need to, like, follow the word of God. I need to make my decisions in the fear of God and trust him.
It's interesting, isn't it, how if you're looking for that purpose and you're looking to move into that future, and your starting point and your only point of reference is yourself.
Yeah, of course.
You're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah,
you're
stuck.
Yeah,
of course.
There's got to be another option.
Yeah.
And because I found myself in a similar situation like that, like, well, you know, where am I going? I didn't see a future because I could only see myself. And I needed more than that in my life.
Yeah.
And then again, you know, we moved toward Boaz, or Boaz moved toward us. And that made all the difference in our lives. And then what's beautiful about this story as the third chapter continues to unfold is that he accepted her. And that's such a beautiful picture of the fact that we came, you know, strangers, alienated from God, outcasts, poverty-stricken in our souls, and he accepted us. We are accepted in the Son of his love without any contingencies and without any conditions, and that changes your life.
Mm-hmm. It says there in chapter 3, verse 10, then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end and at the beginning, that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am your near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman nearer than I. So, you know, there's something there, right? How would you understand that?
Well,
there's somebody else that could do it.
Yeah, someone else could redeem her, a closer relative, according to this kinsman-redeemer principle. And he had to check with him. He had to go to him based upon their laws to see if he would be interested in redeeming the land of Elimelech and also Ruth. And it sounded like when this other relative had a chance to be the redeemer, he wanted the land, but he wasn't interested in Ruth.
Right.
That was the deal breaker.
I mean, I'll take the land, but it reminds me of a joke.
Go ahead, tell it.
There was a man in Maine. He advertised, he said he needed a wife who has a boat. He sent a picture of the boat.
Oh, boy. Was, yeah.
Like, I'll take the land, but I don't need Ruth.
You know? Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
And like, I think,
and if you do take a wife, I mean, you know, I mean, he could say, you know, I don't want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, this could be a burden that I'm not interested in carrying.
Yeah. But, yeah. They also She may not be attractive to me, even though I think she was. I think in the story it makes a point that she was an attractive woman. But you could say not attractive to me. Oh, I don't want a personality. I don't want her talking in the house. I don't want to be responsible for her. I don't want to take on that responsibility. So that was what happened, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yes.
That's fill-in. That's not in the Bible, but that's what he's saying. I'll take the land. I'll take the boat, but, you know.
You can keep her.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't have to come. Okay, so it's not funny, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sensitive.
Well,
it's a joke.
It's a joke.
Okay, please forgive me. No, I think any woman would say, anybody that married, I want them to respect me. I want them to love me. I want that to be a real thing, you know? So we're saying a joke, but I mean, it can be painful for people to think that people could treat them in a bad way, but people do.
Yeah.
I mean, they do. We don't embrace that, but I mean, it happens. We're sorry about that, but, you know, that can. So in this case, I was saying, I'm going to settle it right away in the morning. I'll go check it out, and I'll get back to you. So that's verse what? Verse 12?
Yeah.
Now it is true that I am your near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman nearer. Stay this night, and in the morning it will be that. It shall be that if he will perform the duty of a near kinsman for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, die to lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. And then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, like that.
You have to believe that in his heart he was hoping that the nearer kinsman would say, I'm not interested.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. You know, there's so many great truths that we can take from this book. The first one comes to my mind is it's the providence of God as he guides Ruth and Naomi. And that's early in the book. I mean, there's just so much bitterness there. But I love the fact that God still comes after us, cares for us, encourages us, even when we're bitter towards him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that isn't the grace of God in this book, I don't know what is. Because it would be easy for us to put 2 and 2 together and say, if you're angry at God, if you're bitter towards God, if you don't like the hand that God has dealt you, then you could just be angry and you could just walk away, shake your fist in the face of God and just leave. But God says, no, there's something to be done here. We're going to use this story to bring a redeemer into the world. And because the contrast between the book of Judges, I mean, the book of Ruth follows the book of Judges, and that's just turmoil and unbelief and judgment and idolatry and anger and impurity. But then you get to this book, and you see how God's plan of redemption is going to take center stage.
Wow.
It's fascinating.
Very good. Now, there's a part, too, that I see here. And it is the kinsman that did not redeem, take his place. He forfeited it, so it went then to Boaz. So if you think about the first guy and you say, you know, you could take Ruth into your house and she could be your wife. And you could be a relative of the Messiah, you know, but you forfeited that.
Mm.
Wow. Like you gave that up. And I think of people in this lifetime who have forfeited their right to be in the family of God, or forfeited their right to have a meaningful life by walking in His will.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that this man, let's say in heaven, like we're reviewing the book in heaven and just saying, hey, who's the guy that, you know, forfeited, you know, and he raises his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would mean, well, what do you think about that now? Well, you know, I wish I had acted on it. I lost an opportunity. Mm. I mean, all things considered, I'm not driving a hard point, but I do believe that when Jesus said, if you will be my disciple, follow me. If you do not, that's your life. But for us who have in some degree followed Jesus and trusted him, we have found a life very fulfilling.
Yeah. It's so easy to put something in the place of God in our lives.
Yeah.
It's just easy to do that. Refer to last night's message, it's easy for something to become number one in our lives. Perfectly legitimate things.
Yeah.
Honorable things.
Yeah.
But not God.
Right.
And isn't that the definition of idolatry? Anything that we put ahead of God in our lives.
Yeah, isn't it?
Success, money, a career, a family.
Yeah.
The bigger house, the better job.
Yes.
So many things. And they're all knocking at the door of our hearts saying, you know, hey, consider me as an option.
Right.
But none of those things will bring the joy, the satisfaction, the fulfillment, and the victory that we're looking for in our lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we have to preach that more.
Yeah.
You know, like your wife can be number one. No, she's got to be number two. Your children, they're number one. First is your wife is number one, then 10 years later it shifts, your children are number one. Your wife is number two. She's dropping. Three, four. Soon your boat is number three, your wife is number four.
That can happen to some people.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have God first, then things will be somehow in order in your heart, in what you love and what you love to do.
Yeah. The story is encouraging, too, for what we would refer to as new believers, because God directed Ruth. She was a new believer and used her faith and her obedience to take defeat and turn it into victory. I mean, her decision, and I think that that's one of the more crucial decisions that we read about in the book, is when Naomi said, you just go back to your people, stay here in your land, you're a Moabitess, this is where you belong, find a husband. But there was something, there had to be something about Naomi's faith that Ruth heard about or learned about, and that made her say, no, I'm going with you. Wherever you dwell, I'll dwell. You know, your home will be my home. Your God will be my God. And, you know, this is the story of a new believer. But God can use new believers in some very profound ways, can't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, new believers need to learn, though, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a learning curve for Ruth. And seems like Naomi knows more than Ruth does, but she's her counselor. And then, you know, like years later, you could talk to Ruth and just say, yeah, this is really how my life went. And I really thank God for that. Excuse me. I really thank God for that. And also my mother-in-law, who really helped me.
Mm. Wow.
In this.
Yeah. I just see this as we get into this third chapter. This is Ruth desiring a deeper relationship with Boaz. Just as the new believer longs for a deeper relationship with their Savior. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should be paramount. And as you mentioned earlier, And, you know, that's the beauty of Bible college. You know, mm-hmm. you're learning about your mm-hmm. Savior, because I think it would be easy for a lot of believers just to live in chapter two. You know, I'm just picking up the leftovers. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my best to just to survive as a Christian. But God has so much more for us than just the leftovers and just surviving. There's a deeper relationship mm-hmm. that we can have with him. We have to pursue it. We have to take those steps of faith. We have to live our lives like Ruth did. I'm going to take the instructions that Naomi has given me. I'm going to, again, I'll wash myself. I'll be anointed. I'll put on the new garments. I'll draw near. Mm. And then the results are just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, amen.
So great. Amen. I can see a picture of Ruth, you know, lying at the feet of Boaz, and for us just to come and dwell at the feet of Jesus, learn of him. You know, understand his nature and character. See the way he sees us. I mean, the introduction to last night's message, that God, you know, looking at us but not seeing our sin, our mm-hmm. failure, our misery, but seeing us as a new creation in Christ. You can't hear that often enough.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Absolutely.
And I love the fact that she, you know, she found the right field to dwell in. There's a field for every believer, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
A field of service. It might be the mission field for some. It might be, you know, the local church for some. It might be whatever. There's a field that God's prepared for all of us. We need to find that field and then immerse ourselves in it. And, I mean, submit to those that we find in that field, work hard, just take what God has given us and bring it to the table, and we'll be fully satisfied and completely fulfilled if we can do that in our lives.
I love it. You find the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, and glean. And then it says handfuls of purpose, right?
Yeah.
She had handfuls of purpose. That's a very good phrase, handfuls of purpose. And what young person doesn't need handfuls of purpose, you know? It's like, I need that. Like, what is my purpose?
Yeah.
What do I do? How do I run my summer? What do I do in the fall? What school do I go? How do I decide my Saturdays and how I live my life? It's like very important that I would have handfuls of purpose.
And of course, her story beautifully illustrates God's work of salvation, because her story is like ours. We were the outsiders.
Yeah.
We were the strangers.
Yes.
I mean, we can easily look back at our early years, and if someone had come up to us and told us, this is what you'll be doing with your life, we never would have believed it.
Yeah.
We never would have believed it, that we would be here today in this broadcast, talking about the things that we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
We never would have believed that.
No.
But that's God's work of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He always will choose better for us than we could ever choose for ourselves, doesn't he?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he always gives us better than we deserve. That's for sure. Well, any final thoughts, Pastor Schaller, as we close out this broadcast on the subject of the Book of Ruth?
No, I think you hit it right. I mean, you hit it. You're saying all of these precious nuances about the story and how it relates to us. I think we could just read it when you're like thinking of big, fantastic things, you know. Lightning in the sky, revelations that knock you off your chair, victories of like killing Goliath, you know, with a stone. And then you come to this story, and it's just a very gentle, meek little story about a back town with a woman who really, in a way, shouldn't be there. But she ends up being very special. God's hand is on her, and the way it played out was very gentle, soft conversations, quiet words, you know, at a threshing floor. Her presence in chapter two in the field doing the right thing. And, you know, I mean, those little stories that the world is filled with them. And I think we could see the hand of God in many, many things in life. God did it.
Yeah. He can take us from defeat to victory by faith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first chapter we see Ruth is weeping, and the last chapter Ruth has a wedding.
Yeah.
What a great book.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, friends, for joining us on this Thursday edition of our broadcast. We're going to leave it right there. And we have one more broadcast, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour, as we close out the book of Ruth, and we'll look at the fourth chapter together with you, our listeners. So thanks for joining us today. We hope you have a great day, and we hope you'll join us for the next edition of the Grace Hour, coming up a little less than 24 hours from now. Until then, may God bless you.